This is the Truth Network.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Christian Car Guy Radio Show.
I say this calls for action, and now.
This is my birthright of righteousness that I have inherited by Christ the King. This is my birthright of righteousness that I have inherited by Christ the
What does birthright and priest have to do with each other today on the Christian Car Guy? You may wonder about that. So we're talking about birthright priests today. And what does that have to do with the Jesus Labor Love? Because it is Jesus Labor Love weekend. And so it's really, really, really cool what God has showed me just this morning on this whole idea of birthright and priests, and very cool. We also have Jim Owens. He's a Mustang marketing manager with Ford, calling in from Dearborn in the second segment. So we're going to hear about this new Mustang GTD and the RTR. Have you heard of those, Scott?
I have not.
All right.
I've seen some new Mustangs, I guess electric or something.
Yeah, well, I guess we're going to find out a whole lot more about them. And, you know, there's some Mustangs that look like SUVs nowadays, too.
I think that's the one I'm talking about.
So we're going to find out about those. I'm excited about that. And, of course, we got Scott here because it is the Jesus Labor Love weekend. And for those of you who may not be familiar with it, the Jesus Labor Love is car repair for single moms, widows, and families in crisis. And God has blessed that ministry. We had the best year ever in 2024 from a standpoint of we are able to give away the most parts and labor and cars than we ever really have. And 2025 is starting out with a bang. We just got two wonderful donations. Actually, three cars were donated last week, one of which is just absolutely fabulous. I just can't believe it, you know, what was donated. And, God continues to provide in amazing ways. And so we got stories. We got people calling in and sharing, you know, how God has helped through them through that ministry, through the Christian Car Guy show. Again, it's called the Jesus Labor of Love. And the way that works is that if you know somebody that, like, man, they're a single mom especially, or a widow, or somebody that really just has fallen upon it, and they got car issues of some kind, if they'll go to ChristianCarGuy.com, and then you look, there's a great big banner right there. This is Jesus Labor Love, apply for help. And then they just fill out the form. And when they fill out that form, it goes into my good buddy, Scott. And Scott will call them. And Scott, can you give us just a which, by the way, we're going to get to the birthright priest thing, which has everything to do with the Jesus Labor Love. But can you kind of share with our listeners what happens when you get one of those forms that comes to you?
Okay, after you fill out the online form, within usually 48 hours, I will call that individual and listen to what their needs are and what they're going through, and offer prayer. And then I explain to them what we're able to do as far as repair. And I also let them know that we do occasionally get cars. A lot of times their car is beyond repair, and I let them know that it can be a lengthy process, and that we'll keep them in mind and pray for them. And
so when the car is beyond repair, right, they go on the waiting list for another car.
That's correct.
And how many people are on that waiting list right now?
We have five.
Okay, so there's five people, and we just picked up three cars. You know, they don't all make it through the process, but say two out of the three do. And that, you know, that helps get that down. But then if somebody is eligible for a car, it's not just, I mean, because you may know that through the gleaning of the field idea, that God gave people the dignity of taking part in their own, you know, salvation, so to speak, by being, you know, working in order to get the grain and the gleaning in the field. And so what we've always done, we never pay all of a repair, and we just never give away a car without somebody, you know, having to take part in that somewhat. And so, Scott, how do they do that when they get a new car? And it's not a new car. It's a car that's been donated to us.
Okay. So once I get the VIN number, I will forward that to the individual, and I'll let them know the responsibilities and the cost. And there are costs, just like when you get a new puppy. You know, you have to get the shots and everything. And there's been people before that just prayed about it, and they said, I'm not ready to take on this responsibility. And because it can be $200 to $400, it's usually around $250 for tax title insurance. But in most cases, it's a go. I do want to stress that a lot of times I tell people not to get discouraged if you're fourth or fifth in line, because I've had cases, and I know she wouldn't mind us mentioning Miss J, she was fifth in line, and we kept praying and praying and praying, and I called three people ahead of her one day, and two of them, their phone was no longer working. The third one got a car donated from her church, and all of a sudden, but we prayed so hard for at least good 6-9 months. But I keep telling people, don't get discouraged, because and sometimes I had one lady, she waited 2 years. The lady with seven children, and boy, was she happy. And she still calls in, and her name's Christian. She wouldn't mind me saying that as well.
And so, you know, a lot of times, obviously, or maybe not obviously, you know, we take it for granted that we have a car that operates, and we can get to work, yep, and we can take care of our families and all those kind of things. And so I think it's more than cool that essentially the Christian Car Guy Show here is the middleman between those of you listening who feel God put it on your heart to donate either funds that help us to repair these cars or donate cars. You know, and again, what normally people donate, and all the ones I've received recently were like this. Well, I'm buying a new car. My car is perfectly fine. And so what if, rather than me trading it in, why don't I donate it to the Jesus and Labor of Love? And that's a common thing that happens. And there are those that, you know, they've been sitting out in the field for a while, and the people, well, we'll take those too, because we can, if nothing else, we can scrap them and get some money. Whatever it is, obviously, if there's some value to it, we use those funds and whatever to help single moms, widows, and families in crisis. And so, very cool. Right before the break, I want to jump to, we got Jim Owens. He's a Mustang marketing manager, and maybe he can give us a sneak peek of what he's going to give us here in the next segment. So, Jim, you're on the Christian Car Guy Show. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Robbie. It's always good to chat with you on a weekend morning and to talk about fun cars. And I was listening in on there, and it's always good when the car community can come together to support activities and the community. I don't know how much you know about it, but we do a bunch of Mustangs that where we auction them off for charity and have raised more than $15 million in the Mustang community. So love to see people giving back with their cars.
Yeah, isn't that cool? And I love that Ford does that because, you know, I've always thought that Henry himself was so dedicated to people. Again, with the whole idea, he wanted to build a car that is his own workers could afford to buy. In other words, he cared about the common people, and so it's just fitting as it could be that you guys do that kind of thing. But again,
to hear your station, to hear you guys talking this morning, it was really cool. And the enthusiast and car community always gives back. And it, you know, Carol used to tell me that it was about doing right by doing good.
Isn't that cool? You're talking about Carol Shelby.
Yeah,
oh, legend.
Well, you name dropper.
Well, I did work for him for 4 years, Robbie. It was.
Oh, I don't blame you, man. I mean, that would, what an honor and what a cool thing, right? To have a mentor like that.
I was blessed. literally, I mean, you've heard me talk about it before, but I've been blessed to be able to pursue my passions for the last 25 years. And there was probably no more passionate person as it related to racing and Mustang and performance vehicles than Carroll Shelby. So I was blessed to be able to work with him.
Yeah, he you know, that's a real car guy from my standpoint. You know, that somebody that just, they lived, ate, and sleep. You know, they were, and like Henry himself was, Henry Ford. I mean, that was the thing. They were trying to, you know, move the whole industry forward through their ingenious engineering. I hear the break music coming up. So we're going to be talking about the Mustang GTD and RTR. What are those real quick in just a couple seconds, Jim?
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment with all that. And if you got something you want to call in for the Jesus Labor Lover, something, you call us 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
This is my birthright of righteousness that I have inherited by Christ.
Birthright priest today on the Christian Car Guy Show, and I hope you're listening to the last segment. We got Jim Owens. He's Mustang marketing manager. We've had him on lots of times. So fun and so amazing what Ford is doing with this car. And so today we get to find out a little bit more about these Mustangs, the GTD and the RTR. And so I'm very curious. Jim, tell us.
We're so excited for these cars. Robbie, every performance vehicle that we've been involved in, you know, or I should say that I've been involved in at least, right, going back to the Cobras in the 90s, each individual one seems to keep getting better and better from the work from the engineering team, from the design team, and, you know, working with partners. You know, so that Cobra, you know, you go back to the old SVO days, right? The four-cylinder turbos that had 190 horsepower.
Right.
We were all excited about it. You know, the Mustang GTD starts at 815 horsepower and 202 miles an hour, sub-7-minute Nürburgring time. And it just keeps getting more and more amazing. And, you know, that's a gift of, you know, passionate men and women who work on cars that they love. And then working with teams that, you know, can help develop it. So that's the GTD. The RTR is a, you know, fellow North Carolinian, Vaughn Gittin Jr., who is, you know, he runs the RTR Mustang group that runs in the Formula Drift series.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he, because, you know, every single streetcar Mustang that you drive needs to have a drift brake in it, right? Like, you can't live without one, right? So he helped us develop the Gen 7 Mustang drift brake. And then now this car, which we didn't reveal a ton of, right? It was in camouflage, and, you know, the full vehicle will come out later. But that they did, the one thing Vaughn let slip is, you know, variable boost. So, like, if you think of the old turbochargers back in the day, right, when you put your foot on it to mash on it,
yeah,
it took a while for the exhaust gas pressure to lag. So there's going to be anti-lag valves in this thing so that you can get that torque and get into your drift the moment you want to. So we're really excited about those cars, you know, and, you know, the GTD is basically the street version of the GT3 race car that won its first race in Daytona last weekend.
How awesome is that? And so, you know, all sorts of questions just jump into my mind, Jim, because I'm like, number one, are you telling me that all Mustangs have a drift brake?
Well, I should put a little asterisk on that. All Mustangs that you order with the performance package. But yeah, the EcoBoost and the GT in the performance package has a drift brake in there, calibrated, you know, track use only, not on the street, right? You don't want to be drifting, you know, down the highway, right?
No, where
you can actually drift, you know. And I went, Vaughn, I guess back to like 2010, we're doing a media event, and Vaughn's kind of doing drifting, and he's trying to teach me how to drift, and Vaughn goes, "You're untrainable." I can drift with this drift brake. But it's the fun things that you don't need in a day-to-day car that continue to make Mustang, you know, fast, fun, and for everyone, right? Like, these are things that you don't really need in the car, but it makes it, you know, a lot more fun to know that you can if you want to.
Yeah, you go find a dirt track somewhere and away you go. But just for the record, I don't think any engineer should be a good drifter.
That's fair. Which is why we brought in Vaughn, right?
Right.
RTR. That's, yeah, because drifting isn't the best way around a road, nor is it the fastest way around a road course, because you want to keep the contact
absolutely.
And your tire on the track. But it is definitely artistic.
Well, actually, you know, when I was a very young man, my father was the AMC dealer in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we had
you've never told me that before.
Pacer and Gremlin.
We had AMXs, and so yeah. we had a roundy round, you know, 3/8. Actually, the Unser brothers used to race on that track because they were from Albuquerque, and that's all about drifting. You know, you that's the way that. In those
you
days,
do that on the dirt tracks to bring them back in.
That's you know, like they showed in the movie Cars and all that stuff. So it, to me, that's always in my heart. Of you know, when I hear that, I think about how you know you'd go into turn one, drift it, and come down right into the next, and it's just really really fun stuff when you do it. And part of the reason that police cars were always rear wheel drive is because they needed to be able to do that in a certain circumstance. And so
I didn't know you loved javelin, Robbie. Like, literally, my first. Now, I am still the Mustang brand manager. Please,
of course, I understand.
Right?
It's Ford. Guy. Yes, I understand.
But my dad and his buddy David Hoyt used to take me and his son to US 30 Drag Strip in Illinois on the test and tune nights, and we would go in all these different javelins.
Really?
Right? Like. Yeah, and he was a service manager at a javelin at an AMC store. And now, you know, most people don't even know what a Pacer or a Gremlin or a javelin is. But, you know, the javelins were those cars, and they are hard to find, right? They're hard to rebuild right now because you can't find parts. But that old red, white, and blue one was the one that brought me into, you know, of my passion for at least drag racing.
That was what my car looked like. My roundy round car was painted after that. But other thing that jumped out at me, because another thing, I spent a lot of time with Pontiac, and I know I don't want to get off, and this is another brand that's not there anymore, but they made a formula, Pontiac, and when they first came out with turbochargers, they had three lights that would show the boost on the turbocharger, and the technique was you stood your foot on the brake until you could get the boost up to the third light.
And then let go. Yeah, you had to build up that gas pressure, the exhaust gas pressure.
Right.
That's fun.
And that was fun. I mean, so as soon as you were saying that, see, I could totally relate to go, oh, my goodness. So you didn't even have to hold your foot on the brake. I mean, it goes right to, based on the valves that you're talking about in the turbo, it goes right to that maximum boost.
Right to
right when you need it.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, I mean, the technology has come so far. You know, even our base EcoBoost.
Well, we got to go to our other break, horsepower. And we're going to lose you, which I hate because I just love talking with you, Jim. Well, what do you want to make sure our listeners know before we got to go?
That the Ford Performance and the Mustang team will continue to deliver these performance vehicles well into the future. So, Robbie and I, you and I can start talking about it a decade from now.
Listen to the Truth Network, truthnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
This is my birthright of righteousness that I have inherited.
Birthright priests today on the Christian Car Guy Show. So what does birthright and priest have to do with each other? And what does that have to do with the Jesus labor love? Well, I think you're going to see, and what I'm about to show you, what God showed me this morning is absolutely amazing. So one of the questions I just pondered this morning, I pondered a lot, and I love to ponder when I'm talking with God and spending time in His Word, is why did Jacob, you might remember, Jacob was, you know, the son of Isaac, and he had a brother named Esau. And you might remember he wanted the birthright so badly that he essentially extorted his brother, but with some bean soup, in order to get that birthright. What was so important about that birthright? Well, you know, it's really a great question. I don't know if you've ever pondered it before, but I pondered it. And here's some really interesting information I never noticed before. It's in Deuteronomy 21, and it starts in verse 15. And bear with me. You're going to see this doesn't seem to have anything to do with what you're talking about. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so listen. If a man has two wives, one loved and the other unloved, and they have borne him children, both the loved and the unloved, and if the firstborn son, here we go to the firstborn, if the firstborn son is of her who is unloved, then it shall be on the day he bequeath his possessions to his sons that he must not bestow the firstborn status on the son of the loved wife in the preference of the son of the unloved. The true firstborn will be the son of the unloved wife. And he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife, the firstborn, by giving him a double portion of all that he has. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. So that double portion is something you're going to find throughout the scriptures. Interesting that Elisha got a double portion of Elijah's spirit when you think about it, when right before Elijah went up in the chariots of fire. So that double portion is something that's going to point to Jesus time and time and time again, right? But interestingly, rabbinic tradition and rabbinic law would state that not only the reason that the firstborn would get the double portion was it was his responsibility, the firstborn, to take care of his widowed mother and his unmarried sisters, including their dowry if necessary, right? In our culture, that would be paying for the wedding. You know, however that all worked, there was a reason. It wasn't to get him that because, oh boy, you know, you're going to have more goodies for yourself. No, no, no. We want to make sure that you are provisioned in order to take care of the widow and the sister, right, that is perhaps never married, that would, you know, leave her in a bad place, or, you know, help her with her dowry at that point in time. In other words, don't you think it's beyond cool that God laid in this a provision, right, that became, you know, what Abraham would know, and certainly Isaac and Jacob. And it's interesting to me that what Jacob wanted was partially that, but there's another clue, and we're going to find this in Numbers 3, chapter 11, again, this is awesome to me. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all firstborn are mine. And on the day I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sacrificed to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord." So what were the Levites? Important note, the Levites were the priests. And again, Jewish tradition, Jewish law would tell you that the firstborn is supposed to be once his father passes, he's the priest of the family. What is a priest? Somebody that points people to God. Okay, I mean, they're pointing people to the Father. I mean, that's what a priest does. Well, what is Jesus? He's the firstborn son, right? And he's our high priest. And also, he's making provision. You see all these things that connect Jesus to this idea of the firstborn. And of course, you know, all that Passover is all has to do with the death of the firstborn. I mean, don't miss this imagery that God's been painting this picture from the beginning of time that, oh my goodness, it's coming. Passover, right? Jesus is doing the Last Supper because he's the Passover lamb, right? He's also the firstborn and all these things. And the imagery is showing us why it is, you know, that he has, you know, these particular attributes and how we can, as priests, right, and kings, take on these opportunities to help single moms, widows, and families in crisis. That's true.
Yeah,
true religion. You see, absolutely, all those things. And you know, it's more than cool. And so, yeah, speaking of moms, we have Wendy, who is joining us, one of our recipients of the Jesus Labor Love. Hello, Wendy. And speaking of Pontiacs.
Yeah. Thank you for holding.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you for having me. And yes, I have an amazing Pontiac Grand Prix. It's awesome. I love it. We took it to a car show last weekend.
Did you really?
We were there to look at the cars, but it was amazing how many people who were there for the show, you know, checked it out because it's a little older, you know,
nostalgic.
It's a kind of classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there were some people who were excited to see it. So
I have to tell you that
some old memories.
I have Pontiac roots in lots of ways. That at one point in time, not only was my father an AMC dealer, at one point in time, he was a Pontiac dealer. And I worked for what was Eagle Pontiac in Raleigh, North Carolina, for a number of years. And so I sold many, 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 many a Pontiac. And you know, I know all about wide track, and I know about Fieros. I know about Trans Ams and certainly Grand Prix. I owned a number of them myself. So when I heard, Wendy, that Grand Prix was something that kind of was intriguing to you. I mean, special to you. I've always just been delighted in that idea because, you know, I see that big red shield. And, you know, it brings back a lot of great memories. A lot of great memories.
It does for me too, Robbie. You know the story that I drove Pontiac. My first car was a Pontiac.
That's
and,
right.
Just the Lord showed me that was the car for me, you know, when you guys offered it. And, you know, I was more than grateful for any car at that point, but just it was like a nice little God wink for it to be a Pontiac as well. So, yeah.
So no more engine light, huh? You got that as far. That was just the gas cap?
The engine light is off.
Oh, and the AC's working?
The AC is working great. The heat works. I'm so thankful. Wow. This thing has dual heat and AC control in it, which is amazing. Yeah. I never had that in a car before. So it's amazing. I was thinking about what you were saying, Robbie, though, about the high priest and being firstborn in the family and just God's provision. And I was thinking from the side of being the recipient of this car, being a single mom, you know, just needing a little extra help, that the Lord just said to me this morning and keeps saying to me over and over the verses. It's in Matthew and in Luke, Matthew 6:33, about seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things being added unto you. And I think sort of like the Levites, you know, they had to rely on the people to pay their tithe, to take care of them, you know, to take care of the priests. And I was just thinking what a great blessing it is. I didn't want to have to rely on somebody else, but those donors of yours who gave their time, gave their car, gave their finances in some cases, just sort of took care of me like those high priests, like the Levites, like they did in the Old Testament. And those New Testament verses about seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness and all these things being added unto you. God is so faithful. He is so faithful. He has provided for us, my son and I, through you guys. And so I just want to thank those high priests who are taking care of us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Jesus especially. Because when you think about it, you know, every breath we take, we didn't come up with that idea. We didn't work hard to get that breath.
It's true.
Every single thing that in its own way, and it was one of the neater things I understood early on in my work career, is don't equate what you do to what you get paid. I separated them and said, I'm just to do the very best I can, and I suppose what at some point in time I will get paid, and it'll all be okay. Because whether or not, and Hans, who does finishing well with me yesterday, was telling me, you know, about all the different clients he helps in his practice that he gets no money for. But then here comes this giant client that helps, you know, offset what he did to help these other 47 people. But in other words, what we're doing out there all the time, God is going to provide, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I love the way you see that. And it takes, and I've been on the receiving end of so much charity in my life. It takes great humility to say, hey, I need some help. And I always am so grateful that you gave us that opportunity to help you, Wendy.
Excellent metaphor, Wendy.
Yeah, I love it.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You have a blessed week, my friend.
Thank you so much.
We would love your calls, 866-348-7884.
You're listening to the Truth Network, truthnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
This is my birthright of righteousness that I have inherited by Christ.
Birthright priest today on the Christian Car Guy Show, and the relationship of that is to the ministry, the Jesus Labor Love, which has been around with the Christian Car Guy Show almost since our inception. And what it is car repair labor for single moms, widows, and families in crisis. And the second Saturday of the month, we always highlight that. And we want you to know that that's available, what Wendy was talking about, through ChristianCarGuy.com. If you go to ChristianCarGuy.com, you're going to see two banners. One of them says apply for assistance, and the other one says donate. And there's a place to donate a car. Again, you're just going to get a call from me probably if you're going to donate a car, because, you know, I like to go through, you know, what the process may be. And then there's one where you can just donate, you know, money. And believe me, Scott, we give out a lot more money and we give out cars, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, whatever God puts on your heart, we would love, love, love to be the middleman, because every dime, as Scott knows, that is donated to the Jesus Labor Love, there we have no administration expense, because all we have is volunteer. Our bookkeeper is a volunteer. Our accountant's a volunteer. Scott's a volunteer, obviously. I'm a volunteer. The radio station puts all this stuff on for free. And so we have absolutely none, no advertising expense, no nothing. It's all God has provided all that. So whatever
absolutely.
You donate,
yep.
Every single penny, and a lot of people think that they're donating cars. There's other ministries, I won't mention any names, that they think when they donate a car to that ministry, that car ends up in somebody's hands. Oh, no, it doesn't. They sell that car.
Oh, and, really?
Oh, yeah. They sell the cars, and then they use that money to help ministries. And I think that's great. But then they have all sorts of administration fees that happen in the meantime.
Yeah.
If you donate a car through the Jesus Labor Love, we will give you the opportunity, and Scott knows this, if you want to meet the person that gets in to get the car.
Absolutely.
I mean, if the car will pass our inspection, not all cars make it, but most of cars make it.
Yeah.
And we will be glad to, delighted to have you join us the day that the car swap happens, and we'd happen that. That's a neat thing, isn't it, to take part in that?
Absolutely. Well, most people actually do connect. I give them the address, and they usually write a letter. They don't always meet them, but that makes a big difference. It really makes the people that donate them feel good.
Right,
they really
right.
enjoy that. They don't necessarily meet them, but
right, so God has provided through this just an amazing way for you to connect with the person that is going to end up receiving whatever it is that you've donated. And I just think that's, you know, it's really cool. It's really cool, you know. And so we've got Kevin is in Virginia. He's got a money question about his car. So, Kevin, you're on a Christian Car
Good
Guy
morning,
show.
Kevin.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Enjoy your show. Love it. Listen to it out in the garage.
Thank you.
All the time. I'm out in the garage actually today working and listening to you. And,
that's a good place to listen to a car show.
It sure is.
There you go.
Especially if you're a Mustang lover.
But, there you go. I got a Ford Bronco, 1967.
Oh, boy.
And I've had it for about 20-plus years. I got it when I was a lot younger. Kind of rescued it. I never had a garage then. You know, we were eating Cheerios and chicken tenders growing up with two kids. And so finally, as I got older, got more money, worked harder, I built a garage, and it's been there since. And I've been putting all my overtime and stuff away to one day fix this. And now that I'm an older person that I haven't been since I was younger, I've come to a conclusion, like, is this, you know, I don't mind working on it. It's not that. It's more of a thing between like, I don't want to idolize it, I guess is where I'm coming from. You know, I don't want it to become an idol if I went that way with it. And I was wondering, am I at a crossroads?
Oh, I can tell you, Kevin, I have walked in those shoes. And those people have listened to the Christian Car Guy show since the beginning. I had a truck. It was called Old Red.
Old Red, yep.
Right? And that truck had 480,000 miles, something on it. It you know, and over the years, you know, it just kept on getting more and more miles on it. And you know, I put engines in it, and I did this, that, and the other. But I fell into that exact trap. That truck became more important to me than the stewardship of the situation. Right?
And that's where I'm at. I don't want to cross into that road. I don't think I'm there yet, but I've got the question, you know, because I don't come out and stay in the garage, work of it, put family away.
So here's where I'm going to fall on this one, because a good high priest, because we're supposed to be, you know, and I'm not the high priest, Jesus is, but a good priest, what they do is they point you to God. And so I think that that's really like, God, you know my heart better than I do. Is this something you want me to let go of? Or can I let go of it and still do what you want me to do with it? And see, he also knows the delights of your heart. And he wants your heart to be delighted. But at one point for me, every time Old Red would go through another head gasket or whatever, it would break my heart so bad that I needed like a tooth extraction. That thing hurt me more than it helped. Right? And it was hurting. And so...
Right.
You know, I think no one was gladder on the planet Earth than my wife that Old Red went out of the driveway for the last time. Of course, it was sort of my icon because everybody knew me, like, oh, well, Robbie's here. There's Old Red.
Yeah.
And it was part of my identity, right? And so connected to me in so many different ways. But at some point in time, I had to have an Old Red extraction.
Hey, Kevin, this is Scott.
I guess that's what I'm asking for is, you know, it's just the indicators. It's like, when is the, you know, what am I looking for in the extraction, I guess? And that's great advice. Great advice. I will start there.
Did you happen to see the movie with Clint Eastwood called Gran Torino?
Yeah, there was been some time. But yeah,
I remember the joy he got there at the end. Seeing that young guy driving it.
And what's also really cool about it, Kevin, is that my son-in-law and my daughter just inherited a 68 Bronco.
Right.
Original paint. Yeah. The thing is just
tight. Awesome.
It is in beautiful condition and all that. And they're in the exact same point. Like, we really need the down payment for a house. Would Papa, who donate, you know, that kind of thing, like, should we sell it? Because it's worth a lot of money. And, you know, those are God questions.
I got you. And I guess that's why I called you. You know, I needed direction, you know, and that's what I needed to hear.
Well, let's just pray, Kevin. I mean, that's the thing to do. So, Jesus, thank you for Kevin. I thank you for this call. And I thank you for all those who realized it, that, you know, we need to be able to let go and let God, but there's other things that you want to delight our heart with. So, Lord, I pray that you would really give Kevin wisdom on this decision. And those people listening are also in a similar situation. Lord, give us wisdom. We look to you to show us how to be good stewards of our money, of our cars, that our heart is free to truly worship you, but at the same time, to delight in you. To delight in you with the things that you give us, that we would have this bright, shining smile to share with people, that they would know that we know you, our Savior, and that we can share that with everybody we meet. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Kevin.
Amen. Thanks, guys.
You made my day in a way. I was like, man, you have a great weekend. God bless.
Bye-bye. You too. Enjoyed the show. God bless, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, one more time, I'm going to mention a Jesus Labor of Love, car repair labor for single moms, widows, and families in crisis. If you go to ChristianCarGuy.com, it's all one string, ChristianCarGuy.com, you're going to see the Jesus Labor of Love banner if you need assistance or you want to give. Either way, we take car donations, money donations, all those, but certainly we don't need those if people don't apply for help. So, you know, it's hard sometimes to do that, but we honor those people that do that. I promise you, we're going to pray with you. God wants to help Jesus Labor Love at ChristianCarGuy.com. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Robbie, for having me on here.
Remember, slow down. Jesus walked everywhere he went, got it all done in 33 years.
That's right.